I'm Matt Dixon, and welcome to the Purple Patch Podcast. The mission of Purple Patch is to empower and educate every human being to reach their athletic potential. Through the lens of athletic potential, you reach your human potential. The purpose of this podcast is to help time-starved people everywhere integrate sport into life. We are going to be talking about high performance in today's show, guys. So I ask you the question, does the brain drive the body? Or does the body drive the brain? Well, I think the truth is they drive each other. High performance includes building a platform of health, what I like to call a performance base layer. And the oil that makes that machine run, well, it is a high performance mindset where we're placing the emphasis on our brains. And guess what? We understand as performance experts what the key elements are to drive your performance. And many of them, it turns out, we can measure. We can actually impact through behavior modification and shifts in exercise or how we recover in sleep, nutrition, hydration, and even sometimes when appropriate, some supplementation. This is all part of the puzzle that the team at Inside Tracker look to improve. And it all wraps up into performance. By assessing your biometrics and combining it with the peer-reviewed research and an action plan that is delivered directly from the scientists at Inside Tracker, you can get highly specific on improving your health and daily performance. The team at Inside Tracker even organize all of the factors and information into really helpful categories that we understand impact all of the elements of longevity and performance, whether it's your heart health, your stress levels, your cognitive function, everything broken down so that you have greater staying power and you can show up your very best. It's a powerful tool. Head to insidetracker.com/purplepatch and use the code PurplePatchPro20. You're going to get 20% off everything at the store. It's a tool that I leverage myself, and it is also a central component of guiding any person that I coach to improve performance in aspects that are important to them, whether they're world-class athletes, business professionals, or a very busy, time-starved parent. InsideTracker.com/PurplePatch and use the code, remember, PurplePatchPro20. That's going to give you a nice 20% off everything at the store. All right, now let's get on with the show. Hey guys, just before we get going today, you're going to notice something different in today's show. It's restructured. There's a slightly different format to it. That's because at Purple Patch we say evolve or die. That's what we, well, exist within. That framework, always looking to improve. And as it relates to the show, we're always looking at ways that we can make information more relevant to you, more educational, and ultimately allow you to yield greater value from it. And so we decided to freshen things up a little bit. A little bit of an evolved structure, and it enables us to get to the meat and potatoes quicker so that you can lean much more heavily into the information that's really going to be useful for you to improve your performance. I hope you enjoy it. It's all fresh, it's all new, but of course we get the same old good education. And so with that, let's get on with the show. And welcome to the Purple Patch Podcast. As ever, your host, Matt Dixon. And folks, today, it's a special one. Today, it really is a special one. I welcome to the show Purple Patch athlete, Ben Cooper. Now, Ben is a managing director at a major real estate company based out of London. He's got a young family. He has weekly travel. He has a massively complex, time-starved life. And 2 years ago, when I first met Ben, he was in a serious rut. Exhaustion, burnout, mental health challenges, directionless, overwhelmed. He wasn't fit. He had low energy. He had terrible sleep. He was pretty heavy. And quite frankly, he'd lost his path. He didn't know where it was going to lead him. In Ben's own words, he said he was surviving, not thriving. Today, as we have our discussion, he is a prime example of a high-performing human being. He just finished his third marathon in 12 months. Not bad for a big old rugby player. He's engaged, happy, thriving, and in control. And his journey is packed with inspiration, perspective, and lessons for all of us to draw into our own journey. Folks, it is unmissable. I would be amazed if you didn't finish today's show and listen to Ben and think, I can do it. Whatever is important to you, I can do this. And I'd be amazed if you don't go out and take the first step today. And you know what? You would be right. You can. You can do it. It's great. But before we get going, a new section. We are going to do Coach's Corner. Yes, Coach's Corner, folks. It's a new section, a little opportunity for me to provide a little perspective with what's going on at Purple Patch, how we are coaching our athletes to hopefully help you apply to your own lessons, maybe talk about some of the latest research that's out there, or provide some perspectives on anything that's going on in the world of performance. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to kick this off with a little sneak behind the curtain right now of Purple Patch. Because we are heading into the spring, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. Things are heating up and things are getting very, very busy. Now, our athletes that are competing, we're starting to have early season racing and we're really driving towards fitness on that side. And other folks, it becomes a very, very busy time of the year. You're getting outside more, you've got more family activities, school events if you've got families, and plenty of travel and everything else at work. So we as a coaching team, what are we doing right now? Where's our emphasis? What can I tell you about? Well, I'm not going to focus today on the exercise and the prescription side of stuff. I'm actually going to talk more about the supporting of elements, because at this time of the year, it really becomes important for coaches to actually almost segregate and make sure that you're balancing your emphasis of education and discussions around movement, strength training and exercise and endurance activity and everything on that side with the actual organizational side of elements, managing training or exercise within the scope of life and supporting that training with a lot of the key components around nutrition, hydration, sleep, etc. This tends to be the time that it really amps up. And so as a coaching team, we really try and start to focus on that component. How do you actually help an athlete manage themselves better? Become better at real-time decision-making. Should I push through and do my workout that I've got planned? Or maybe should I make it do something easier or even skip it together? How do I actually build habits that stabilize my energy or support my training and nutrition? What are the key aspects that I want to do to promote my opportunity for deep rejuvenation, aka sleep? All of these elements, that's a primary focus. In fact, I would say it's probably 50% of the coaching balance relative to exercise and movement. And so that just highlights that a part of coaching is way more than what the actual session is. It doesn't matter whether you're training for an Ironman, a marathon, or just training for life. The key component is where you're placing your emphasis. As a coaching team, we are right now, as we go into spring, and I would say over the next 2 to 3 months, heavily invested in that side of things. So that is, to kick off Coach's Corner, that's a lot of our education right now, trying to help people manage themselves better, to be better in supporting their energy and stabilizing their energy and health, becoming more resistant to sickness, and ensuring that they can show up every single day to perform in whatever is important to them. That's our heavy emphasis right now, 50% with everything else. Second thing I want to talk about in Coach's Corner today, a little vignette for you from science, because today we're going to be talking about Ben Cooper and his journey from mental health challenges and exhaustion all the way to a high-performing human being. And what you're going to hear from Ben's story is the first thing that he started was just to get moving. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that make up high performance. We can segment out sleep, recovery, downtime, nutrition, hydration, all of these elements. But you can't change everything at once. You can't just throw spaghetti at the wall. And for Ben, the first thing, the catalyst, the key habit, was just take the first steps, move forward, get consistent. And of course, that became the gateway that over time, because transformation takes time. Over time, he could start to build and introduce other habits into the equation. And that's how then 2 years later, boom, he doesn't even recognize himself from 2 years. And it turns out that exercise and movement has a key direct impact on anxiety and depression. There is plenty of research out there. I'm going to highlight two right now. First, just this year, a couple of months ago, it was released from a team in the University of Limerick and Iowa State University, in which they assessed and proved a direct link between resistance training and improving all symptoms of depression and anxiety. Think about that. A tool that you have that is just heading out to the gym and doing some resistance training to reduce many of the symptoms that we associate with depression and anxiety. Two thumbs up. There's also other research out there that showcases that daily movement can be as powerful as many antidepressant drugs as a tool to reduce anxiety and depression. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not prescribing anything. And if you are currently on some form of antidepressant, I'm not telling you to jump off it and just switch to exercise. Of course, you would do that under the care of a professional medical help. But what I am endorsing is one thing that is, quote, almost never bad, is moving your body, committing to the first steps. And you're going to hear that in today's show. And so what I want to do is go right into the meat and potatoes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Ben Cooper. All right, it is the meat and potatoes, and a guest that I've been harrowing around and badgering to get onto the show, incredibly excited. Ben Cooper, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's an absolute delight. I think this is going to be a wonderful conversation. We are going to talk about a grudgy old rugby player emerging to endurance glory, but we're going to go beyond that. As I like to always do on the show is first dig into backgrounds and a little bit of your life story, and then we have got quite a personal story to talk about today. So why don't you first just paint the landscape, tell the listeners where you grew up, what your background was, family, etc.
Don't let the baby face fool you, Matt. So I'm in my late 30s, so I grew up just outside London, so basically in a small town called Reading, which will mean a lot to British people and not a lot to others. It's not a town that's well known for being that exciting, so it's a kind of suburban just outside London. I grew up there, so it's the late 80s, early 90s. Educated in and around there, went to sort of, you know, traditional UK schools, university, did the kind of whole traditional journey. Interestingly, and obviously, I guess we'll come on to it a bit, but moved to London, sort of post university, again, kind of very traditional, what most people do in the UK, and ended up working in the real estate industry. So that's where I work now. Fantastic industry and an amazing firm, and we'll be talking about that shortly. And I'm now kind of managing director at the company there, dealing with a whole array of different things, but basically focused within part of a real estate private equity firm. So kind of really, really interesting firm and doing some really cool stuff. Trying to balance that with personal life and with having a family. So I've got a 3.5-year-old, and he'll definitely come up as part of the journey. So my wife and I've got a little boy. We live just in the middle of London now. And try and balance all of those occasionally competing objectives from balancing each other out too much.
I mean, you are the epitome of a time-starved athlete. You've got 3.5-year-old. You're a very, very busy role. You're MD, managing director. And your role at the organization involves, I mean, effectively weekly travel, across international travel across Europe.
Every week I'm away somewhere pretty much. So now, you know, we'll come on to that in the context of being kind of time starved. So yeah, finding time with busy hours, the kind of hours that people would expect for that type of role. But also then building in travel and complicated travel and trying to make it home in time to get a little three-year-old into the bath and read some bedtime stories and do exercise. So trying to balance all those things with an amazing but definitely demanding job and a job that I'm super proud to be doing, something I absolutely love, but is something that takes time and takes effort and takes focus.
It does. And I want to make, because I've worked with you for a couple of years, and you're not just a father of a 3.5 year, you're very, very active and involved as well. So you're navigating, you talk about getting him into the bath, et cetera, et cetera. That's it. I mean, you are a present and engaged father, as well. I know that's very, very important to you as a father landscape of your life.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you know, like a lot of parents, I mean, I could definitely record far longer than this podcast on how much that's brought to me. But like, I'm a super involved dad. I love hanging out with the little guy. But it's also, I think, yeah, we'll come on to it. I think one of the things that I've really had to learn over the last couple of years is that ability. And one of the guys that works here that, again, I'm sure we will allude to later, who Matt also coaches and knows very well, is an incredible mentor to me in everything I do. And he once really wisely talked about that need, as you get further into life and have the sort of family side of things, to work out a way of being absolutely present in everything you do. And I think for me, that's one of the things that I'm most focused on, is trying to be 100% present as a dad and as a husband, and combining that with sort of personal goals and professional ambition at the same time.
Well, I tell you, everything that young man knows, he learned directly from me.
Exactly.
That in there. But so before we get going on the journey, I do want to know your sporting background, or I want the listeners to know your sporting background. So growing up, sports, grew up in England, west side of London, etc. So you're an elite endurance athlete. Is that accurate?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So prior to the stuff we've done, I had never run an endurance race in my entire life. I'd never run a race other than like school cross country runs, that kind of thing. So I'm a rugby player. That was my thing. I was a pretty decent rugby player. As a teenager, I was, getting tryouts for professional teams and playing in county first teams and that kind of thing. So good standard. I took that through to university. For anyone that doesn't know much about rugby, it's a physical sport. Again, if you like US listeners who don't know, it's probably closest thing would be akin to American football. And the position I played, again, just to give you an idea of whether I'm a super lithe, gazelle-like marathon runner like Matt, the position I play would be closest probably to a tight end would be the best analogy. So I'm,
Wow, showing your knowledge of
American sport. Yeah. So. Tall, heavy, physical contact, that kind of game. So the opposite of an endurance athlete, to be honest, would be my athletic background.
Well, let's start to dig into the details then. You've got this this rugged rugby player, very busy, time starved. Let's go back a couple of years when we first met, and I'm going to actually let you just paint the landscape and in your own words explain our journey together. And I guess the nice way to maybe kick into it was, why don't you paint the landscape of where you were at the time, which was a challenging time for you? So as best as you can, sort of go back a couple of years and just give listeners an insight onto that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so yeah, we met in 2021, I guess. Yeah, so 2021, 2022. Yeah, I was not doing well mentally or physically, and those are obviously massively connected, and we'll talk about that. But I've at various different points in my life struggled with my mental health. That's been something that's kind of always been there, has always been manageable. Basically, I've worked with kind of great people to help with that, and I've always done okay. And that's been, to be candid, that's generalized anxiety disorder and depression and those sorts of things. Those haven't been things that have been extremely prevalent. They've just been some episodes. But I really found the period post-pandemic really tough. Like a lot of people, I found the experience of the pandemic really difficult. And my son was born during that period. So the back end of 2020, he was born. He was born in October 2020. And he was born prematurely as well. So we spent a few years in the intensive, oh, a few weeks, sorry, in the intensive care. So it felt like years. We spent about 6 weeks in the intensive care with him. needing a lot of support and feeling like we'd never get out. And it was one of those situations where, we were basically the only thing I could do was go to the hospital. I couldn't see friends, I couldn't see family, and we very strictly upheld the rules, which was the right thing to do, but was a really, really difficult thing to do. And certainly that first period of time, my wife was in the hospital with him, so I was kind of leaving them in the intensive care and going home on my own. And for a few reasons, I think that then followed by the period afterwards kind of pushed me over the edge a little bit, and I was burnt out effectively. I was just mentally really, really depleted, and I'd lost so much of the resilience that had been able to help me navigate some of the things that I found more difficult historically. Then we got back post-COVID, and we were in a period where, so again, to go back to my role involves traveling, as Matt mentioned, and that traveling fell away certainly in the first lockdown, and then we got into the second lockdown, and traveling sort of opened up, and there were things that I'd wanted to do and needed to go and do. But I hadn't been able to. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. So I gradually opened up, and those were trips that I put off because we just couldn't do them, and eventually having to do them. But that would also mean I would go away on a business trip. I would have to drive across Europe, which would be like a 12 hours on the road with loads of nasal swabs to get into different places and all of that fun. And then I get home and I'd be in quarantine for a couple of weeks and unable to go anywhere at all with a newborn baby. And just everything got too overwhelming at that point in time, really. And I mentioned earlier on, I work with a couple of guys in the firm, the two partners of the firm who are like mentors to me in lots of different ways, and have been unbelievably supportive at every stage of my career, professionally and personally. And one of those guys suggested, look, just my personal take, but I would strongly suggest you try and move your body around a bit. I think that will really help you to just kind of get over some of the overwhelming elements of life at the moment. And that was how he introduced me to Matt. And so you and I started talking then and started work then. It's a very different time to what happened, and we can talk about that. But yeah, that was how we first met.
Let's go, because we've had two chapters with each other, and the second one obviously being much more successful for you and for us as a partnership in a way. So I really remember a couple of things of the sort of first time around, and there was just a little bit of a gap between. But I'm just sort of separating it into chapters for our own conversation here. If you go back, I really remember making a few recommendations around a challenge, a goal, doing something with but do you remember our conversations there? And I always try and go back, and you, from a coaching standpoint, you struggled to get traction. In many ways, you just weren't quite ready. That was my coaching perspective. I'd love to hear your recollection of that first chapter and what you remember of it.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. I mean, there were things that I felt kind of capable of doing at the time. I was sort of would run a little bit, would kind mm-hmm. of start to get on the exercise bike and have a little program to just move the body and kind of turn the engine over a little. To turn the engine over. See, I bought all the trademark terms, Matt. So I would kind of keep everything rolling. But there were things at the time that I just felt too overwhelmed by to be able to really move forward. Really, and you suggested. I remember really vividly to your point about the challenge. I remember you saying to me, I can talk for hours about this, and I'll try not to. But I love nature. I love being in nature, which is harder, I think, where I live than where you live, so to get out and do it. I remember you saying to me, "Hey, maybe you should think about doing a kind of trek or a trip, or you should get in a canoe with some buddies and go down a river." And I remember thinking, "I can't do that. I just can't. I will never be able to take a challenge like that on." That was my mindset at the time. I think because having been in a period where life felt about survival, basically, but life at the time, particularly when we were back in the intensive care in that period just after, my wife was that was amazing. She's an amazing woman, an incredibly mentally robust and brilliant woman in loads of different ways. She was really focused on what it took to be a mum at that point in time. And you know, for anyone who's had a premature baby, I think the physiological reaction that women have in that moment and milk coming in at difficult times, like, it was just an incredibly difficult experience. And she was so focused on that. And I felt like my job at the time was just to survive, right? All I had to do then was survive. And that made me mentally so depleted. And that never, I couldn't get rid of that. I couldn't drop that from my mind. And I just felt completely incapable at that point of, I could hear you say it, and I felt like it sounded like a really great idea for someone else, just not for me, you know, and that was really difficult right there.
How can you gain an edge? How can your team gain an edge? Show up daily, ready to perform. Develop the mindset of a champion. How do you develop the mechanisms in an organization that's going to drive a performance culture across the whole team? I never set out to be an executive coach. In fact, what I wanted to do was coach world champions, and I was lucky enough to do that. But after 20 years of working with world-class athletes and industry-leading C-suite executives, I've learned some really key practical approaches that drive sustained high performance individually and across teams. And now I'm ready to talk about it. If you'd like to learn more about my keynote speaking or our leadership programs at Purple Patch that are all specifically designed to help teams drive to better results, feel free to reach out direct. info@purplepatchfitness.com. It's very simple, 3 key steps. Review the offerings, set up a call with me directly to understand your goals and challenges, and we can get cracking on engagements that are synchronized to your corporate calendar and, of course, tailored to the needs of your team. info@purplepatchfitness.com. All right, enjoy the rest of the show. So you went away and then you returned, and it was just a couple of months sort of break. And then you came back, and it felt like the very first conversation we had, like I and of course as a coach, I have to decide, okay, am I going to invest back, sort of thing. It was a very different Ben on the first call back. And you came back and you had a shift in perspective, and maybe that was just time. But I'd love you to go back to then the start of chapter 2, and you came to me actually with a goal, which was a goal that was actually surprising to me. You said, I want to do a marathon. So go back to the start of that.
Yeah. So again, you know, I sound like I've really drank the Kool-Aid in terms of the people I work with, and you know, they know who they are, you know who they are, but in conjunction with the guys, I took a bit of time off. Actually, I took a couple of months off work. Mm-hmm. To look after myself, but actually I just stayed at home and was a dad. All I was a dad for a few months. It allowed my wife to kind of go back to work, and she could actually get some separation, I think, from being at home, which was good for her in lots of ways. She's, you know, it was important for her to also get a bit of her life back. And I just was at home. I was just at home with my little boy every day. All I did was be a dad. I'd love to call them parent and child groups. They were really mum and baby groups where, you know, as going back to my physiology, this sort of lumbering, you know, 230-pound, 6'4" dad lumbering around with carrying a tiny baby through these sort of bouncy castles and ball pits and stuff. And I loved every single second of it. And I think the most important thing, again, going back to the psychological side, was it just allowed me to see that my son was well and safe and was here and was a real person. And you know, I could kind of trust that I could focus a bit more on myself again, actually, coming off the back of that, and I could try and put some stuff in place. But also it gave me the sense, that proximity also gave me a sense of, like, I think I've got to do something a little bit differently. I don't want to go back to here. I'm going to try and put some foundations in place so this doesn't happen again. And as I was sort of ruminating on that, and, you know, kind of, you know, again, anyone who's been a parent, you'll know, you plenty of time in the middle of the night to think about things, just watching a child fall asleep on top of me. I remember sitting there thinking, God, that stuff Matt talks about. Maybe I could do that. You know, maybe I could do something. Maybe I could do, and in my mind, I thought, maybe I could run a 10K, or maybe I could, you know, do a trip with some of my friends. Maybe I could do something that would be kind of physically demanding. And actually, really serendipitously, the time we were in the intensive care, there was an amazing charity, British charity, that basically provides materials for parents whose children are premature or who have kind of birth difficulties and are staying in the intensive care. So this charity provides brilliant information to explain what's going to happen, but also like little packs of things that you know, like a little blanket for your baby that's safe for them, even if they're going to be in an incubator, this kind of stuff. And it meant the world to us at the time, particularly because I had, you know, none of his grandparents could come in and see him. There was nothing like that could happen. And they sent an email out saying, oh, we've got places for the London Marathon. We've got places, charity places for the London Marathon. You've got to raise a bit of money. But if you want to do it, there's a place. And I was like, yeah, I could do a marathon. I could do a marathon. So I decided to go for it. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do a marathon, I'm definitely going to need some help. And that was when I picked up the phone. So I decided to not only go back and do a challenge, but do a proper challenge. I think a marathon counts as a proper challenge. So I was decided to really, really give it a go and knuckle down. But I'll be clear, and I guess we'll talk about this. I thought I would absolutely hate it. It was full. I'm doing this to my kids. I'm doing this to my kid. I'm doing this to raise money for charity. I'm doing this because it's something that will focus me on something, but I will not enjoy this. There is no way I will enjoy doing this, was my mindset going into it.
Yeah, you're I'm not built for this. I am the ultimate donkey dipped in cement. So let's go to sort of some of the granular stuff, training, habits around that side of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So from your perspective, I'd love to go back because you probably had in your mind, this is what it's going to take. I'm going to have to do a whole bunch of running and a whole bunch of really long running, etc. So go back and think about training and the sort of how we tackled it from your lens.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, it was an absolutely sort of transformational journey in that respect, right? Because I'd worked in the industry, and particularly for anyone who's listening and thinking about doing an endurance sport, if you go online and Google that endurance sport and what it takes to do an Ironman or triathlon or whatever, it'll just be tons of miles of that thing over a period of 6 months. There's no nuance or sophistication to it. There are some, but the majority, none at all. And that was one of the best thing was that I think we started early enough from memory. So we started in the like September time, June time.
Exactly.
So basically kind of around the summer to run in the April. So I had kind of 8 months of training time. And that gave me an opportunity to build up slowly. And you gave me a really, really interesting program at the start. So I was basically focused on a combination of runs that actually made loads of sense from the sport that I'd done, from the rugby that I'd done. So there was things that were sprints, there was things that were intervals, there was hills, there was completely different volumes, there was long runs to get familiar with the longer territory, but really wasn't all about running. Loads of swimming to keep off the joints and to build up rowing. Got the erg in the basement, so the House of Pain downstairs, so we can do that. And on the exercise bike as well. So really try and combine all of those things. Gave me loads of variety. So it's the variety that I wasn't expecting. I was really expecting to get bored of running, which I didn't. I actually loved the runs. They were my favorite part. But also just gave me a completely different way of thinking about the exercise and kept me mentally really stimulated by the different types of training that I was doing. But yeah, I'm here as well. So it's unsurprising that I'm completely committed to the fact that if you're trying to do something that's different, you need a coach to support you in doing that. So not only were you able to give me a varied program, but I think particularly as a relatively time starved person, the ability to basically say, hey, Matt, this is my week this week. I've got a crazy week. I'm flying to this city on Tuesday. Then I'll be away Wednesday. Then I'm back on Thursday evening, but I got a thing to do with my son. Matt, great. Okay, well, I'm going to do 20 minutes this morning. Then that evening, you'll be doing some stretching in the evening. Then you're going to do a longer run that morning. Working with you to work out like what hotels have different size pools. How can I exercise in different ways? Where's there going to be hills? We have loads of investments in flat countries, seemingly. So yeah, how do we get some different volume? And that made such a huge difference because I think and again, I think it probably comes back to all the stuff that I talked about earlier on. Like sometimes when things are difficult, it takes enough just to start. Right? It takes a bit of willpower just to start. It takes a bit of effort to just put one foot in front of the other. And I think if I'd had the easy opt out, like, oh, I don't have quite the right kit, or oh, I don't know what I should be doing, I probably would have taken it at some point. And I think that that combination of support and probably a little bit of peer pressure as well, sort of thing, was a really, really good thing for me.
I think it's valuable. I mean, you talked about your mentors in the business and side, but there's also that there where it's, you know, this was public. This isn't something that you were hiding in the closet sort of thing. You were doing this and everyone kind of knew you were doing it. And there's a real positivity and there's a little bit of accountability there. I also remember the plasticity of the program where this week I'm in and just sort of saying, okay, I'm going to be in Amsterdam. Well, great. There's a really good park in Amsterdam. So we're going to run there. Well, next week I'm in Geneva. Well, we've got access to a pool, so we're going to leverage that. So also having the plasticity in the program not to try and force training into a life where it's like, hang on, I don't have easy access to a pool in Amsterdam. Yeah, but it's the swim. It was the reverse engineer of what do we do this week based on where I'm at to keep us going in this direction.
Yeah, I think that that's, for me, that's one of the real benefits of having the coach and the structure around it. I think if you have a very rigid program that is based off an online thing or something like that, it just feels really, really pass-fail. I was supposed to do a 10-mile run this day, and if I don't do a 10-mile run, I haven't done enough. Whereas I can message like, hey, man, I'm not going to get this in. Okay, that's fine, but do this because it'll be valuable, and then we'll put that in at the weekend. It just gives me loads of different ways of thinking about what I have to get done as an athlete and trying to find the different options in coordination with that.
Now, another element for me as a coach was that I was trying to get you ready for a marathon. I was also looking to really stabilize your energy and enhance ultimately mental health, you know, albeit sort of indirectly. So had some pretty heavy interventions, if you want to call it that, around how you're eating, organizing your week, some of the organize. So I'd love you to talk about that sort of, I'm going to frame it under habits, as it were, because we shifted quite a bit around on that side of stuff.
Completely. I mean, I think so. I think habit forming for me was super important. It's something you really emphasized early on in the program, was just that you've got to show up to this. And you don't have to necessarily, as I say, going back to it, you don't have to show up for exactly the exercise I've programmed every day. That's not what this is. But you have to commit to this being a kind of overall thing that you want to do. And again, I think that if I look all the way back to when I was training, I was a teenager playing good standard sport, I trained 6 days a week. But I knew what I was going to do and I was really committed to it. And I'd sit down with my mum on a Sunday evening and be like, right, well, I've got rugby training on Monday evening. And then Tuesday morning, I'm going to go in early because I want to make sure I'm doing some running and then I'm doing some stretching afterwards. And I thought about that. And I think particularly when you've got that combination of a demanding job, you know, my work calendar is pretty well set well in advance. You then layer on top of that family, you know, as you well know, Matt, like, toddlers, they don't work to your schedule at all. So it's really trying to then look at that and think, how am I going to get the things that I need to do done in that time? And I think there's the sort of Sunday special type approach that we talked about, like sitting down, sit down and prioritize the things that you need on a Sunday. Work out. If you're going to do, you're going to run on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, this is what that actually looks like. These are the things that you need to bring with you. This is the equipment that you need to take. This is how you're going to think about exercise this week. And that was the first step. And then that also then allowed me to start thinking about diet and to start thinking about sleep, and then sleep being a really big one, actually. I'd say almost sleep being more important in the first phase than diet. Because I think that really was such a pillar for me to actually exercise to the right level. And like as a family, my wife and I, we've completely changed our relationship with sleep for the better. And we've done that having a young kid as well, right? So we've been really prioritizing getting to bed early, turning lights off, not having screens in the bedroom, like all this sort of stuff that we've talked about, like that made a huge difference. And I think I am in everything in life, I am so convinced by the power of momentum and the virtuous circle effect, right? And so focusing on the exercise I was going to do meant I needed to focus on the sleep I was going to do. Focusing on those things made it logical that I would then focus on the diet and work there. And I mean, you know, I'm 10 kgs, 15 kgs, 20 kgs, and probably nearly 20 kgs lighter than I was. So what's that, 50 pounds?
Yeah, 50 pounds lighter than when we started 2 years ago. Amazingly. Which was never a goal, by the way. That was a knock-on effect. We never talked about weight loss.
And to be frank, I've done it eating more than I did before, right? Because you've been very clear about the need to have more protein and to focus on that, which is as a non-meat eater is harder to do. So kind of really focus on that sort of thing. So I've never been in a position where I'm not eating and being restrictive, but I have been much more mindful about what I'm eating and when I'm eating, and then how I'm allocating the meals that I'm having to the exercise I'm doing. So making sure if I go and do a long run, I'm prepared for that. And again, my wife and I were laughing the other day, and she's doing the same thing, to be clear. So she's super fit and really working hard on that. But like, I packed to go away this week, and I'm packing my creatine capsules, I'm packing my magnesium for recovery, and my protein shakes in my bag. But that's what's going to support me to do it. It takes me 2 minutes to do it. And yeah, otherwise, I would either not exercise, or I'd exercise and then I'd be grouchy when I got to the office because I hadn't eaten properly and I hadn't had enough protein. So it really makes a huge difference, my ability to achieve those things. And then to perform in different contexts, to perform in a work context and in a professional context.
Yeah. I think one thing that I just want to shine a light, and then we're going to talk about impact of all of this ultimately. But one thing you mentioned there that I think is really important is it's impossible for anyone to change everything at once. And your journey, the reason that I think that you have been so successful, or one of the big reasons beyond your commitment, beyond your staying power, beyond saying, okay, I've gone all in, is that you did one thing, which was get going with the exercise, and then you laid on the sleep, and it opened it up in a sequential sort of natural sort of enmeshed way that then a couple of years later you look back and go, wow, my habits have changed. Yeah. But it wasn't this, I couldn't come in as a coach and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all of this needs to change. Let's turn all the dials up at once, because it is impossible for anyone to take that on, particularly when you're time starved. And it seemed like that was really done well by you there.
Yeah, no, and I mean, but also, I'd add that's part of you. I remember when we first spoke, you started using the phrase, and I think this guy's been in California way too long, because he started about coaching relationship, right? And that was the terminology that you used around it. And initially, I was like, that's a different way of it. But actually, proper coaching is a relationship, right? It's understanding that if you just drop me a load of red lines, I'm going to feel really boxed in, and I'm probably not going to do it, and I'm probably not going to commit to it in the same way. But if we can layer one thing on top of the other, it just allows things to improve one after the other. And I think that part makes almost the biggest difference, because it really allows you to build in a much more structured way. And it also means the habits stick, right? I mean, nothing's worse than suddenly, everyone who's ever tried to crash diet or try to exercise off the back of nothing, they don't stick. You can't do it. It doesn't. You have to build incrementally, and I think that's doubly the case where you're pretty time starved. If you're trying to do all of this in the context of a busy work environment, like if you don't eat enough and you don't eat in the right way after you exercise, you are grouchy in the office, and your colleagues get frustrated, and you aren't productive, and you can't do a full day's work. And trying to combine all those things, I think, has been really important.
I do want to make it clear, I have been in California for a long time, and I am very Americanized, but the Essex will never wash off me. I am still a proud Essex boy with all of the stereotypes. I've got a gold chain under here, Ben. I feel so fortunate to coach Ben, and I think that's a common sentiment across the whole of the Purple Patch coaching team to all of their athletes, or at least most of them. And I notice how the impact of the coaching journey always extends well beyond finish times and places. You get that out of Ben's discussion. And for me, this is what it means to be a Purple Patch coached athlete. Partner, go on a journey. Integrate training that works with your demands of life. Cut through the noise and confusion to focus on the key elements that are actually going to help you perform, and be guided through a process, ultimately, just like Ben, of transformation, instead of just trying to do it all at once and falling into a cycle of failure. If you're interested in our coaching services, I think it's a wonderful time to reach out. I also believe that it's probably the best investment that you can make in yourself and for those around you. Three simple steps. Reach out to us, info@purplepatchfitness.com. We'll set up a complimentary call to understand your situation, goals and challenges, and then we will pair you with the right coach for you and your needs with the full backing of myself and the whole of the Purple Patch team at your back. The journey of transformation begins. info@purplepatchfitness.com. Okay, now let's get back with Ben and enjoy the last part of the show. Let's come to impact, and I'm going to break the you're now three marathons in. You've just finished your third, yeah. and you went under 4 hours, which I coached the fastest American runner to run 204, but your sub 4 hour marathon, a great personal achievement, and when we started this journey, both of us would have said no way, but it's not about that, you know, it's not about the time, and so what I'd love to do is from your lens. What's the impact of this journey and what's the outcome? And you can talk about sport. You can also talk about broader life and how it's impacted you professionally. And whichever order you want to go in, that's up to you.
Yeah. Let's split up. Let's start with the sport side. So, three marathons in 12 months, having never run a race before. I've gone under 4 hours, which... is a lot less impressive than many, but for me was an amazing milestone. And I'm going faster, Matt. We're going to talk about that.
We are going faster.
I can definitely do that. So I'm really, really excited about all the things that will take to do that. And I can see the incremental performance improvement. One of the cool things is that I think being able to do something that has kind of reminded me. It's like a phrase that I use with my son when my son can't do something. You know, when I say he's trying to learn to do something, I say, like, you can do this. You can do hard things. Like, it's okay. You'll fail and you'll keep trying. And this whole process reminded me I could do hard things, and I could do hard things because I wanted to do them. I could do them on my own agenda. This is a thing I wanted to do. And I think in lots of ways, as someone who had been quite a good athlete as a kid, so, like a spark of something that I'd lost for years and years came back and has given me, it's given me more confidence in myself. It's given me an ability to understand myself. And then the nature of endurance sport. Again, I never, ever thought I would. I was that guy, like, if there's no ball, it's not a sport, basically. I still love my football and talk about that a lot, even though Chelsea are bad this year. But it's endurance sport has allowed me to do something that I never thought I'd be able to do, which was engage physically in a way that is completely profound mentally. It's absolutely a meditative thing. It allows me to go to a place in kind of hardness and difficulty that is really, really hard to access. And both of those things combined just give me this extra level of resilience in my day-to-day life. So I think it's really, really helped me to have a better sense of the priorities that I have in life. It's allowed me to have a better sense of my own mental resilience. It's reminded me that I can do things on my own agenda and on my own terms in ways that I didn't think I was able to for a long time. And that part has been one of the most amazing things. I really hadn't imagined that it would have such a transformative effect in that respect.
You started talking about sport and you immediately went to, we think about it as the physical, you immediately went to the mental and the traits and the mindset side of stuff and the direct connection between this journey that you took on for yourself and how it's impacted you professionally. Which is great, and I'm assuming the sort of staying power on a day to day, your better energy in the day, better resilience, and
I've got way better energy. I've got so much more energy from my day to day life. I've got a better ability to focus. I, I'm I get up easier in the mornings, you know, not least to exercise. All of those small things, you add them together, and that's such a change on your day to day. And I think that's been, and that for me has been hugely transformative. I'd also say, just I think this has kind of trained my brain to think differently. Exercise has made me more adaptable. It's made me more resilient. As I said, I genuinely think it's made me a better employee. It's made me a way better father. I talked about, I've been open about the sort of mental health stuff earlier on, but I said to my therapist the other day, exercise has sort of sandpapered off some of the rough edges every day. And that's really how it feels. And that's how my wife would describe it as well. It just helps to make every day. I was going to say it makes every day easier. That implies that every day wasn't good. It was. It just makes things better. Like I am just a happier, more engaged person for doing this. It's super profound. I'm fully all in, as you know. But like it's an amazing thing. And I think I know the one thing we talked about. So I mentioned I've done 3 marathons in 12 months, right? So London at the start, Paris at the end. In the middle.
My favorite one you've done, by the way, before I was just about to ask you about this. So I'm glad you're bringing it up, because they're a fantastic marathon.
Yeah. So in the middle of those two. So in November of last year, went with some friends and ran a wine marathon, basically, for want of a better word. So it was in Beaujolais. There's a few of them in France and various other places, but you basically run from vineyard to vineyard. So 20 different vineyards. You run literally through the cellars underneath the castles, and they serve wine. So there's 16 to 19 wine stops, which I would not recommend doing all of them. Thimblefuls of wine, but they mount up over the course of the day. And incredibly, actually, we ran that in like 4:40, which I was quite surprised about, considering we were stopping drinking wine every couple of kilometers. But the reason I mentioned that is, to me, that's almost, in some ways, that's almost a better example of the journey that I've been on, because this was a physical thing that I went away for the weekend. I went away, without my family, which I wouldn't have felt able to do before. I wouldn't have prioritized doing that. I would have wanted to be at home and be with my family and be engaged, without realizing that if you don't enjoy yourself and you don't take time for yourself, you got to put your own oxygen mask on before you help others, right? And all that kind of thing. Yeah. So you need to do that. Doing a physical thing, to your point of doing a challenge, do you want to go on a trek with a few buddies? This is a full marathon, running 4 and a bit hours with a couple of my best friends, drinking a nice glass of wine every now and then, and some pretty bad ones too. They don't give the best stuff out for the marathons. But just the amazing, it just felt like an amazing demonstration of making exercise part of my life, and the journey that we went on as a group that day just was so evocative. I was really quite tearful coming over the end of the line, like arm in arm with one of my best buddies about, something that I 2 years ago would have thought was absolutely impossible for me to even consider doing, let alone actually go and do. And to stand there and do it with friends and sort of see that journey was an incredibly profound moment, really.
It's absolutely magic. It highlights my two things. Is you started when we first started talking about marathons in this conversation, you said, I thought I was going to hate it. And when we think about training for a marathon or an Ironman or a 5K or anything, it's a solo pursuit.
Yeah.
What's coming out for me is that, number one, it's been anything but solo. You've got your buddies and partners at work. You've got your buddies. You've got your family involved. You and I obviously coaching relationship, etc. But it's really sort of, it goes beyond you. And number two, it really sounds like you're having fun, you're enjoying it.
I love it. I think you can overcomplicate everything in life, right? But I think there is something just incredibly powerful about just placing one step in front of the other, not having any headphones on, just being out and seeing what the world's going to give you that day and what your body's ready for. And I go out, and the positivity that brings to me is amazing. I just love doing it. I just love going out and doing this. I think I love running. I absolutely love it. You know, I put a load of miles on the legs last year. I'll do the same this year. I'll do it with my buddies. You know, I don't know, Sunday this weekend, I'm going to just run to some friend's house to go and have lunch with them, and it's great. And it really, as you say, I think that was one of the things that was always in my mind. I'm definitely a professional contest. I see myself as a real, you know, team player, and I want to engage with people, the people around me. All the sports I played were team sports, and it was all about the kind of collective victory. And I think in my mind, I'd kind of bracketed running as a thing that's very solo, very solitary. And the community that's come about from that, and the community that sits within endurance sports, is absolutely incredible. And yeah, so genuinely some of the happiest moments of my life, honestly. I mean, you know, other than marriage and kids and a couple of other bits and pieces. So yeah, doing some of those things. It's particularly London, kind of getting on that, getting through that journey. Obviously, that was the one that really, yeah. London closed the door on all this, on a lot of the stuff that had happened that caused me to be so burnt out, really. And then since then, it's been more the longer term athletic journey has been kind of the new bit we've been on. So I guess those are my two chapters of what we've done. And I remember you said to me that, I remember you called me the night before the marathon, Friday night before the marathon. And one of the things you said a few things, but one of the things you said was, just remember that today you won by getting on the start line. And that's actually what it's about when it comes down to it. When it comes down to it, exercise, you win by getting on the start line. You win by just getting it and doing it and putting one step in front of the other. And if you turn up and do that with consistency, irrespective of what you're doing, you don't have to have a time goal, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But that commitment to the thing that you want to do and doing it for yourself is transformative, I think.
You are the beacon, the best example I can think of the power of sport, well-being, and all of the associated habits, taking on a challenge and how it impacts broader life. And I just want to say, fantastic so far. You haven't messed it up. You're an immeasurable disappointment in many areas, but not in this. But thank you so much for your transparency, Ben, and thanks so much for being a part of Purple Patch.
Thanks to you for a lot, Matt, as well, because I wouldn't be here without a coach. And yeah, so the guys who have mentored me and suggested I should get in touch with you, I owe them a heck of a lot too. So that journey that you and I have been on has been absolutely amazing. And thank you for so much that you've done for me as a person. So, and long may it continue.
Long may it continue, because the finish line of Paris is never the finish line of the journey. That's the important thing. So Ben, exactly. Thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Take care. Guys, thanks so much for joining, and thank you for listening. I hope that you enjoyed the new format. You can never miss an episode by simply subscribing. Head to the Purple Patch channel of YouTube and you will find it there, and you could subscribe. Of course, I'd like to ask you, if you will subscribe, also share it with your friends. And it's really helpful if you leave a nice positive review in the comments. Now, any questions that you have, let me know. Feel free to add a comment and I will try my best to respond and support you on your performance journey. And in fact, as we commence this video podcast experience, if you have any feedback at all, as mentioned earlier in the show, we would love your help in helping us to improve. Simply email us at info@purplepatchfitness.com or leave it in the comments of the show at the Purple Patch page, and we will get you dialed in. We'd love constructive feedback. We are in a growth mindset, as we like to call it. And so feel free to share with your friends. But as I said, let's build this together. Let's make it something special. It's really fun. We're really trying hard to make it a special experience. And we want to welcome you into the Purple Patch community. With that, I hope you have a great week. Stay healthy. Have fun. Keep smiling, doing whatever you do. Take care.